Please note that this podcast was recorded before the selection of the new Pope this week, so we won't talk about that in this podcast. I'm sure we will in next week's show. In any case, enjoy this Curmudgeon's Corner. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Monday, March 11th, 2013. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is here again. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello. Hello. Now, okay, I just thought of something that normally you would rant about today.
I know what you're about to say. Go for it. I was gonna briefly say something, but you can do it.
Daylight savings.
That's right. This is spring ahead.
Semi-annual Samuel Minter changing the clocks rant.
That's right. Last time you ranted more than I did. How was it going spring forward this time?
Well, about the only advantage
I want to for those who weren't listening at the time, Yvonne ranted more because he's got a very young child now who is in a certain routine.
Yes. And his schedule's all over the place.
Yeah,
he doesn't give a shit about the clock change.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, such so bogus. I mean, this whole fucking thing. The kid is living proof why this is just the most stupid thing we do.
Indeed. It's just everybody collectively suddenly says, hey, I know what. Starting tomorrow, let's do everything an hour earlier.
And my baby is like, what the fuck are you talking about, you crazy old bastard? You're trying to put me to sleep already. It's too early.
That's right. And then it'll be the same problem will be in the morning, you know, because you're trying to get him up earlier.
Right.
And all I know is like.
Well, I will say this. I'm not going to try to get him up earlier. I'm like, if he sleeps more, it's fine. The fucking way.
There you go. Well, you know, and all I know is, you know, this is going to be. It had just gotten to the point where, you know, when I was driving in on the morning, in the morning on the days where I have early meetings, it was actually, like, not dark when I left home. And now it's going to be dark when I leave home again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, tomorrow morning, I have an 8 a.m. meeting because of traffic.
Yeah, in the morning, you're going to leave. It's like fucking, it's like the middle of the night.
I have to leave home at 6:30 in the morning. Which, according to the time as it was before this clock change, is now 5:30 in the morning.
Right.
You know, it's going to be dark. I'm going to be tired. And, you know, they say, like, one of the costs that people have calculated due to daylight savings time is the Monday after the daylight savings time change is one of the most common times, aside from national holidays where everyone gets drunk, for accidents. Car accidents because of people who are commuting in the morning that are still half asleep.
My phone's ringing. It stopped ringing though. Okay, all right.
Anyway, so that's. I mean, there's not much else to say about it. It's insane. Everybody seems to agree it's insane, but yet we keep doing it. What the fuck?
Right.
We talk about Congress and like Congress never doing shit. How about Congress getting off their ass and just getting rid of daylight savings time?
They're not gonna do it. Didn't they expand it years ago?
Well, they've expanded the dates. They've changed the dates on a number of occasions. They need to just. I mean, you'll notice it's not six months.
I've got this very annoying look. I've got this. This older like calendar clock thing that used to adjust automatically for
it does it at the wrong
and it does now. It at the wrong date right now because the older one and I'm like, you know, fuck. Yeah.
Well, I've got, forget it.
Let's just move on.
I've got one of these radio controlled clocks that like listens to the atomic clock in Colorado or whatever.
Right.
It fixed itself. You know.
I have two of them. One of them fixed itself and the other one didn't. I'm thinking that the other one is not getting a strong enough signal.
Probably not. Like, and just to be clear, everybody, and to protect my geek cred here, almost all of the clocks I have on my phones, my computers, everything else are on UTC, so they don't change. But if I have an analog 12-hour clock, and I have a few of those, I have them on local time.
Okay.
So, anyway. Okay, let's move on. We've got a bunch of interesting things today. We had Chavez die. We had this whole...
So what was the prediction that we had made about his death? We just said
by the end of the year.
Okay, so I made it.
Both of us said he'd be dead by the end of the year. Both of us were correct.
Wow. There you go.
I don't think that was reaching very far, though, but you know.
Well, I mean, come on. We've been calling for Fidel to die for I don't know how many freaking years. The guy is still alive.
That's true. But, you know, but Chavez had been clearly, by December, no, it was.
There were a couple of times when everybody kept thinking that Fidel was about on his last legs, ready to die. Fidel. And he's not dead.
Yeah, no, no.
So I don't know. I know it was kind of like, you know, we were right. So there you go.
There you go. Since we started with that, do you want to say anything about Venezuela?
Well,
make some predictions about who would take power afterwards, but I think it's still too soon to tell. I mean, the vice president did take short-term power, but there are going to be elections soon. Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
And the Veep over there is a psychotic lunatic. I mean, the guy...
He's president now. He's no longer the...
Well, he is temporarily president. The Constitution of Venezuela basically states the VP... I don't really understand why they have a VP. Because it states that upon the president's death, an election needs to be called within 30 days.
Right. Well, you need somebody to run the country for 30 days.
But then the Constitution is kind of unclear about that because there was also a conflict between like whether the head of the parliament or whatever the heck or the vice president actually took power, and there was some discussion about that. At the end, they wound up swearing in the VP. But bottom line is that there's an election already scheduled. It's scheduled for April 12th or 14th. I can't remember what the heck it was. I mean, it's pretty clear that this guy, Nicolas Maduro, who's the VP, is going to be running for it. This guy is worse than Chavez, to be honest with you. I mean, I remember, like, there's a video of him last year during the election campaign for Chavez when he was, like, stumping for Chavez. He went and he called the opposing candidate a – let me see how I translate this – a prissy faggot. Right, at a campaign stop.
Yeah.
Okay. That was his quote-unquote, not exactly like the polished language you're expecting from a guy running for president. You know, so that was like – and the guy, this guy is totally beholden to Cuba. Okay, all right. He might as well just be fucking like the Castro's puppet over there in Venezuela. So as long as he's in power, I mean, listen, Cuba right now is just basically just bleeding Venezuela so they can survive. That's what they're doing right now. And because, yeah, I mean, they're getting oil for very low rates. They're shipping quite a lot of wealth out of Venezuela. Venezuela is suffering deeply because of this. At this point, economically, and I don't know, unless...
Now, let me ask, because one of the things I've read, like, repeatedly over the last few days of people talking about this, and you can tell me how much this is true and how much this is bullshit, is that while overall there are a lot of metrics that say Venezuela's in trouble, one of the things that Chavez did do during his time was that he did... equalize the gap between rich and poor somewhat, and did a lot of things to benefit the lower income folks, so that even if he was screwing the hell out of the richer folks, there was actually a lot of benefit to the people who were sort of lower down in the structure.
Okay, this is what Chavez did. They say a lot of benefit. It wasn't a lot of benefit. What Chavez did was actually give them something. What happened was the previous elite governments that they had for many, many years took the poor and gave them nothing, okay? So Chavez decided to actually just give them something. And that something really meant – number one thing is that he expanded public health care substantially using doctors that were provided by Cuba, okay? So he did that, okay? Now, the one thing about that is that at the same time, inflation has raged. The average price of like food is like inaccessible. He made it that the, I mean, right now the price of gas. I mean, the economy is in chaos right now. The main problem is that even though he gave him that, at the same time he's created this massive inflation because he's basically pillaged every entity that had money that was in the power of the government. That the in the end, you know, what the hell's the point? Okay, great, you gave me healthcare, but I go to the supermarkets, there's no food, there's no this, prices are going through the roof, and my spending power is like diminished. Honestly, the rich people are still fine. The poor, in the end, are worse off. So, I mean, yeah, he went out and he gave him something, but yet at the same time, he completely screwed the country economically. So, I don't know.
So what you're saying, it basically short-term gain, but probably something that in the long term is hurts everybody.
Absolutely, because he took the look, the primary engine of making money in Venezuela has always been PDVSA, the oil company. Okay, that was the biggest motor. During that time, what he did with the company was he took out the professional management and employees, bloated the payroll, quadrupled it, quintupled it, packed it with a lot of his cronies, while at the same time, Venezuela, even though it has huge oil reserves, oil production has plummeted. Their gasoline production has plummeted. Right now, they're at the point that they are actually importing gasoline. Okay, they sold off almost all the assets and took all the money from Venezuela, plundered it, gave it to all the part to these programs. The other part, by the way, went to a whole bunch of Chavez's friends, which are all extremely rich, including himself. Okay, so
hey, what the hell's the point of being like, you know, the president of a country if you can't
make yourself rich and make your friends, and your friends time?
Rich? Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess so. So, look, I mean, yeah, he went for a little bit and, like, decided to give the poor some stuff. But it's not like he was, like, this fucking, like, you know, I don't know, martyr that went and, like, suffered himself just to give himself to the poor. No, he did – look, he gave them something to buy political votes from them in order to be able to rape and plunder the country for himself and his friends. And he took it from this other one group of elite and created a brand new group of elites. Honestly, he didn't really give them shit. I mean, in the end, you know, he fucked everybody. Okay? So, you know, the country, honestly, is far worse off. And, you know, even like the small benefit that he gave to the poor people, a lot of them are realizing that it was just a mirage. It was just something that he did in order to try to get them short-term their votes. So, I don't know.
So any idea what's going to happen when election time comes?
I don't know. I mean, you know, the speculation is like right now that, I mean, they're just going to steal the election like they've done every other one recently. You know, that's the speculation at this point.
I have not followed this. You have more. Like, what I've heard is that the last elections there were actually relatively fair and, you know.
Bullshit.
Okay, tell
Bullshit.
Me.
Bullshit. Look, Chavez is going through and, like, intimidating every fucking person and every opponent, blocking airtime from the opponents, not letting them campaign, not letting them do anything. He fucking owns and controls the company that does the software to count the elections, okay? Listen, let me tell you something. These elections are not free and fair by any common standard. No way. No way. I mean, he is manipulating this thing completely into his favor. And, you know, there is just, you know, I don't know what these people are saying that the elections are free and fair.
Weren't there election monitors and all that stuff that certified?
I don't know what the fuck those people were monitoring. I got to be honest with you. Because I talk to people that are there, and I don't know what the fuck these people are monitoring. Or they're fucking monitoring their ass. See, here's the problem, right? You're going over there and you're monitoring the polling station, right? What the fuck? They're not going in the back and seeing what the computer system that Chavez, that company that Chavez bought and paid for, that, by the way, the owners live here in the United States, that are Venezuelan. What, you know, what the hell? What do they know what they're manipulating in the background? These election monitors do not have access to the vote tallies, to the actual ballots. They don't go in and they do samples in order to see statistically whether the votes are accurate. They're not doing any of this shit. They're not doing any of that at all. They're going into polling stations. They're seeing whether there's voter intimidation or something, whatever. And at the time of the poll, at the poll, they're not doing anything at the poll. They've already done everything all in advance of the fucking election. They've done it by controlling the airwaves. They've done it by knocking opposition television off TV. They've done it by intimidation. They've done it. I mean, all these other things. I mean, by the time the election shows up, I mean, yeah, you're monitoring the polling booth. Great. Nobody over there went and put somebody a gun to anybody's head, like made him vote the other way. Big fucking deal. They already did everything in advance. Whatever.
Okay. Well, I have nothing else to add on Venezuela. It's not a part of the world that I've particularly followed. So let's take a break, and we'll come back. And I guess the next thing on the agenda is Rand Paul and his filibuster on drone policies and such, and all the surrounding issues and notions. So, we'll be back after this. Here we are. So, I'll give the 10-second background of this, and then Yvonne mentioned to me right before the show that he's had some sort of epiphany. So we'll find out what Yvonne's thoughts are. But basically, what came up this last week is Brennan was up for CIA chief, and there was a bit of a back and forth on a number of issues, but one in particular that Rand Paul specifically had asked for clarification on the Obama administration's policy towards whether or not the president had the right to order a strike on an American on U.S. soil. And he got some answers earlier in the week where Attorney General Holder put out a sort of long rambling letter saying that we don't plan to do this. We don't envision having this happening. But, you know, they're under certain extreme circumstances. And he gave the examples of 9/11 and Pearl Harbor. Maybe something would be in order. So that basic answer didn't actually say no. And it expressly left open some possibilities and didn't specify specifically what he was. He gave two very extreme examples, but the way the letter was worded didn't necessarily say that they had to be that extreme for anything to happen. So Rand Paul decided to do, who's of course Ron Paul's son, who's now a senator, decided to do an actual talking filibuster, and he went almost 13 hours, I believe, just standing there talking about U.S. drone policy and the power of the executive, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. After this was over, Holder issued another letter to Rand Paul of one paragraph, basically saying, I've understand you've asked a more detailed question, that Americans not in combat on U.S. soil, could we kill them with a drone? Could the U.S. military kill them with a drone? The answer is no. There's been some analysis that even that, like there's some interpretation issues, but Rand Paul was satisfied and declared victory. I have a lot of thoughts on this whole issue. I've ranted on them before, so let's let Yvonne go first.
I got to tell you something. I think I have come to the conclusion that this entire drone program needs to stop.
Okay.
That was my conclusion that I came to today.
So tell me more.
Well, my conclusion is that, you know, I was thinking about, you know, these old wanted posters that used to be posted.
Wanted,
like,
dead or alive, blah, blah,
that's
blah.
Right.
Yeah.
But here's the thing about, and I thought about that, here's the thing about this. Wanted, dead or alive meant, you know, we need to capture this person, and if the person resists with violence, then they would kill him. And that's not what we're doing. What we're doing is we're going out and we're seeking a target that we believe is an enemy of the United States, that some group of people determined this.
Yep.
Okay? Based on some information that they gathered, we don't go through a due process for this person, and then we send out a drone with a rocket and fire it up their ass and kill them. And what I came to today, as the more I thought about it, this whole damn thing does not meet the due process that is afforded anybody under the U.S. Constitution, whether they're a citizen or not a citizen. And I just don't see how we just go out there and do this. If you want to carry out a policy like this, here's the problem. You want to – that person that they killed, what's his name, Al-Kawi, who's a U.S. citizen?
Yep, and his son.
Okay, and his son. Why the hell – okay, fine. So he's not here. Couldn't you hold a trial in absentia? You could – you know what? You could have held a trial in absentia.
I'm not sure that's allowed in the U.S. actually.
Yeah, yes, it is.
It is?
It's been done before.
You have the right to face your accuser.
If you cannot show up, I am pretty sure that you can. Well, but okay, fine. So
Noriega? Did that happen to Noriega? Or did they wait until they captured him to put him on trial?
I think Mark Rich, there's a number of people that I believe the trials with.
Okay, fine. Whatever. Let's move on.
But say for example, even if it, if it isn't available right now in the U.S., for example. Okay, it says that the person needed to be at least present at the beginning of their own trial. Okay?
Okay.
That's what the Constitution says. Just make sure, because that's why I said I'm like, gosh, I know people have been trying to apparently, if you show up at the beginning of your trial, then you don't show up, you can be tried in absentia. But you have to at least show up at the beginning.
Okay.
But I think that, I just don't see how the hell we go and do this without giving people whatever the hell due process we're supposed to give.
I think
it's completely illegal and should stop.
So first of all, I agree with you, but let me play devil's advocate for a while. So the argument here is that they do these things under situations where there is the person, it presents a danger. So leaving them unmolested is potentially a danger. People may die, etc. Also,
right,
where capturing them is impractical. These are things the administration has said. And also they will point out that, you know, as far as they're concerned, although legally this is not true, the U.S. is in a state of war. The rules are different.
See, that's a problem.
This is a battlefield. And, you know, you don't apply due process concerns on a battlefield. You shoot the enemy.
We are not in a declaration of war, and if there is a way to declare war on
What people have said, by the way, is that we may not be under a declaration of war, but the authorization of military force that occurred after 9/11 is the functional equivalent and gives the president all the authority they need to go after any even remotely Al-Qaeda-related assets all across the world.
You know what? No, Al-Qaeda is not a uniform organization. It's not a, you know, it, you know, it, it's not, it, you know, they don't have an office somewhere, okay? All right, well, they do probably, I'm sure, but, you know, but my point is, it's not like, you know, let me go to Al-Qaeda headquarters and, like, go and, like, check in. This is not the way this fucking thing is. I mean, we keep, like, you know, it's a very loose hodgepodge of people that is in a lot of places that have a common cause, okay? And calling it an organization is, like, I don't feel comfortable with it, to be honest with you. And I think that,
well, and
and it's just that we can say that just about anybody that interacts with them in one way or another is part of it. Well,
I think, you know, I'm going to stop devil's advocate for a while and actually agree with you. I mean, I've said for a long time, the appropriate approach to terrorism, including 9/11, is to treat it criminally. And I know people don't want to hear that, and they want revenge, and they want this, and they want that, but Al-Qaeda, what is it? It's an organized crime syndicate.
Yes.
And that's how it should be treated. The fact that they have a political motivation, whatever, you know? Like, in the end, the fact that we use the war metaphor and go after them in that way grants all kinds of extraordinary powers to the president and the military and the government in general that is just ripe for abuse. And we've talked before, this causes more enemies. I mean, because it's not just the strikes against specific known targets. They're these signature strikes where they don't know exactly who they're hitting. They just look suspicious. You know, we've done the things where we kill the guy and then people come to the funeral and we kill everybody who shows up to the funeral because, right. Hey, if they showed up to the funeral, they must be bad too.
No, I am like right now, this thing needs to stop.
And I want to back off, like, because too much emphasis is put on the word drone strike. The issue is not specifically the drone. Well, that's listen, just technology.
Because let's be clear about this. Look, years ago we had, the government has sanctioned assassinations, this government has.
Yep.
I mean, for a very long time, okay?
Despite whatever policy there was. I mean, and including in wartime. I mean, we did it in World War II.
Yes, we did.
What was
that
general we shot down? I forget the name. But there was a Japanese admiral or general or somebody. We got intelligence on where his plane was flying. We shot down the plane. And it's considered completely legitimate at time of war to attack.
Well, of course, at that time
control.
We were in fucking war with Japan. Yeah. Really declared war. Not this shit.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So I don't have a problem with that. We were fucking declare war on these assholes. Well, they declare war on us first.
Whatever. Anyway, so but the point is, it is a tried and true technique going forward. And we've said before, by the way, like, look, it's just a technology issue. The only difference is that it's actually, like, if the comparison is we kill them with a drone or we carpet bomb, okay, the drone is better than the carpet bomb. It's more precision. It's more targeted. We'll have less incidental casualties, let's say. But if the alternative is, hey, do we really have to kill anyone at all?
I think that if we were able to target that person that way, why the fuck couldn't we capture?
Well, it is significantly harder to capture somebody. I mean, okay. I will completely give the government that argument. It is a hell of a lot harder to capture somebody.
We've pinpointed their location. We know where the fuck they are. We know who their companions are.
It is a lot riskier.
I mean, I know it is, but yet it's part of the fucking thing.
It is, but, like, you know, look,
but it's just that we can't.
I can certainly understand that that's not always realistic.
It may not be the easiest choice. Well, here's the problem. It's just that I don't agree that the easy out is to go, well, they're bad people. Let's just go fucking shoot them.
Well, and I agree. Like,
let's just drop a bomb on them from over here and that's it.
And we've talked about this before. Bush got into tons and tons of trouble because he was capturing people. And what the fuck do you do with them once you've captured them?
But the problem is, he could have brought them back. That was a U.S. citizen. We could have brought them back and we could have fucking put them on trial. The reality is that we, you know, with the people, I understand, you know, we had one way where we didn't declare war on anybody. We didn't collect evidence on it. We went and captured these people, stuffed them in a fucking prison in Guantanamo, and we didn't have a due process set up in order to go with these people. I mean, I'm just Okay.
Well, and meanwhile, just to show it is possible, just this week as well, one of Bin Laden's spokespeople, suddenly out of the blue, guess what? He's in New York City. He's going on trial tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah, so it's certainly possible, but I grant that it's harder. But I think the thing here is, and I want to step back.
We're a fucking nation of laws, yes, and we have a constitution, and we should not be just going out there acting like the fucking enemies of this country, and just going out and just fucking like whacking people just because we can't. We you know, it's easier to do it that way.
I agree with you completely. I want to step back a little further and talk a little bit about sort of the direct issues that were related to this filibuster and everything this last week. The thing here, is fundamentally the question of what does the president have the power to do on his own authority without Congress, without the courts, without whatever. And so the issues that Rand Paul was asking about were basically, look, the administration so far had absolutely positively declined to ever state any limits. They basically, and they've created policies of, you know, here's how we're going to manage the program. But those are policies that they chose. They're not legal restrictions upon them. There's not, hey, you can do this, you can't do this. And the questions were all around, well, what are the limits? Because up to this week, the administration had declined even to say that they couldn't, the president had no authority to launch drones against targets within the United States. Now, one thing that I want to, and I'm kind of pissed off, like when I've noticed the media comments on this, they've oversimplified this in a way that makes it completely wrong. They've put the issue as if Rand Paul was questioning whether Obama would kill Americans in Chicago with the damn drones. Okay?
That's not the
issue. And Rand Paul had very clearly multiple times said, hey, I don't believe, I'm not like the psycho crazies who think Obama's out to get everybody. I don't think Obama is about to start launching drones all over the United States, killing people arbitrarily. That's not the question. The question are we relying simply on Obama's good judgment that Obama doesn't want to do those things? Or is there an actual legal restriction that says the president cannot?
Right.
And that's the question. And like I've read in major like in major media publications and stuff, I've seen people specifically recast this in terms of what Obama would do. And that's not the point. That's not the point at all. And the whole thing is about Obama's not always going to be president. And whenever these kinds of issues come up, I am struck, dumbfounded by the hypocrisy that goes on both sides of these kinds of issues. Like Democrats who are jumping up and down about George W. Bush and what he was doing, Obama starts doing things that arguably are even worse, and the Democrats are like, oh, well, you know, that's I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
But meanwhile, if it was a Republican president doing that, you know they'd be going apeshit. And it's like, really? And meanwhile, at the same time, you have Republicans who are criticizing Obama for this. But if George W. Bush or a Republican president was still a president, they'd be sitting on their hands. Now, I think, you know, from everything I've heard about Rand Paul, I think he's probably one of those few people who's absolutely consistent on this issue and would go after George W. Bush just as much as Obama versus somebody else, because, you know, look, there are a lot of things. I've been learning more and more about Rand Paul, and I obviously knew some stuff about his dad. There are a lot of things where I think he's a little bit nuts and not in the right place. But in the issues of civil liberties and this kind of thing, I think he's 100% spot on, exactly right. And that's like,
well, let me put it this way. There were a whole bunch of Republicans that jumped into the defense of Obama and regarding this. And the thing is that I'm actually in the opposite camp.
You're generally a nice diehard Democrat. You are an Obama supporter, et cetera.
And I don't like this.
Yeah, and I think, look, and people get confused about get tied up about drones specifically. It's not about drones. It's about presidential power.
It's a presidential power to order the assassination of somebody without due process.
Right. And you know, a number of people have pointed out, too, this debate was specifically about American citizens, but because there's sort of a more emotional resonance in this country when you say it's about an American citizen. But, you know, the same thing applies
to just about anybody.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You could be a Yemeni citizen, but like you happen to be doing whatever, and boom, you get droned. Yeah.
I mean, let's face it. This whole screw up goes all the way back to when Bush went and like started capturing people, and instead of following a due process in order to have them like be, you know, interrogate, collect evidence, and put them on a trial, even if you set up military tribunals, whatever the heck you wanted to set up, what we did is torture all these fucking people and make them like confess to anything. Okay, all right, and then taint all the evidence that we could have convicted any of these people with, and made it impossible to have a proper due process for these people. So it starts off with that. So now we try to compound a problem. Hey, let's not capture them. Let's just fucking kill them.
Yeah, well, and that's been Obama's strategy since the day he came into office. And,
right. I don't like either of the fucking approaches.
I said stuff about this. I don't know if I think it was on shows that you weren't on, but like,
no, I remember you saying it.
No, I mean, I've said this stuff, but I mean, this is why in the end I didn't vote for Obama for the second term. This issue, more than anything else, was the line that I had that, like, you know, he is going above and beyond what the powers of the president should be. He should have been, from the day he got into office, renouncing some of the excesses that George W. Bush did, said that this is not within the proper powers of the president. We have to rein this stuff back in, and we'll prosecute the people from the last administration who went overboard here. But he didn't do any of that, and instead he has taken everything to George, all of the powers that George W. Bush grabbed, and he's grabbed more. And I understand the whole notion of, you know, hey, but if it's for a good cause, if we're pretty sure, like, if we trust the people in the Obama administration to make a good call and to only
I don't like any of this shit. The policies have got to be based on policy and like law, and not just because we trust certain people, because then we get some of the wrong fucking people in there, and then what the fuck are we going to do about that?
Exactly. There's plenty of evidence that, you know, we may be, you know, quote unquote, trying to do better and minimizing civilian casualties, et cetera, but there's a lot there. There have been a lot of people killed by us that didn't, quote unquote, deserve to be killed. And people in the administration, I forget if it was Holder or somebody else, you know, you mentioned Al-Awlaki, and like a week after he was killed, his son was, you know, in a car with some other people and was killed. And this was a 16-year-old American citizen that we had no evidence about any specific wrongdoing that he'd ever done, other
and
than being in the wrong place.
It was accidental, by the way, but still!
Well, he happened to be in the car that we hit. But,
right!
But I don't remember if it was Holder or somebody else in administration, but when they were asked about him, they actually had the nerve to say, and I'm not going to get the words right, but it was something along the lines of, well, he should have picked better parents.
Oh, fuck yeah, great.
I mean, I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. Really? I mean,
I don't like this thing. I don't like this thing. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. This is wrong.
And I've talked,
honestly, I mean, you know what? I come to go, it's just fucking wrong. It's just wrong.
Yeah.
Period.
And I've said time and time again, this kind of thing is the kind of stuff that makes new enemies that are going to be causing trouble 15, 20
damn
years down
straight.
The line. You know, because every single time we kill an innocent in these kinds of situations, their whole family, even if they were rah-rah, go America the day before, is like, those motherfuckers. You know, because, yeah.
Well, bottom line, this thing's got to stop. I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do, but I don't know.
Okay, I think we've beat that one to death. There is one other aspect of it, and I want to talk about Rand Paul and his prospects and stuff. So we'll take a break, and then we'll talk a little bit more about this, and then we'll see where we go. We'll be back after this. Okay, here we are. So the main thing I wanted to say is there have been a number of posts by a number of people showing how, basically saying that Rand Paul just stepped up here and with his filibuster and actually standing up for principles here, etc., he's boosted himself and his prospects into being a serious contender for 2016 rather than for Republican nomination anyway, rather than simply being,
I don't see a Republicans nominating him at all.
Bingo.
I mean, I really,
this is where I am too, because here look, he got a lot of positive attention from a lot of Republicans simply for the fact that he was criticizing Obama and doing it in a very visible way.
But he's definitely not the type of guy that the Republicans want.
But here's the bottom line on it. Let's just take this drone policy stuff. Let's not even look at all of his other positions, some of which are fairly controversial in the Republican world. But let's just look at the drone stuff. A majority of Republicans, and actually, to be honest, a majority of Democrats as well, think that this is perfectly fine.
I know.
Think that we absolutely, anytime the president thinks that he's got a bad guy in his sights, should just take him out, and let's not worry about all these niceties. That is the majority position in the United States. Those of us that are railing about due process are in the minority, okay?
Yeah, we're a bunch of civil liberties lunatics. Yeah,
and that's true in both parties, and it's certainly true in the Republicans, because you know he's got a fairly non-interventionist position. He's got a position that this kind of stuff is bad, that the executive needs to be curtailed, blah blah blah. That is not the overwhelming position in the Republican Party. And I could see, I could see the result of this. I can see him getting some additional support, maybe doing better than his dad did if he runs in 2016, which all indications are that he will. But I don't see him winning. I don't see him getting that nomination. I could see, I see that wing of the Republican Party growing somewhat. So I can see him doing better than his dad did, and maybe running again in 2020, and maybe in 2020 he has a shot. I don't know. Things will change a lot by then. But I don't see things moving that far in his direction in less than 4 years. It's just the Republican Party has a lot of divisions. We've talked about this before. They've got a lot of different wings that believe different things, and Rand Paul is not going to be the guy who brings all those together.
Yeah.
I just don't think that's the case. Now, I'll be honest, I think of all the prominent Republicans that have been talked about for president right now, I probably, Rand would be in my top one or two that I would consider, because of the civil liberties stuff. I mean, I think there's some other positions he has that I would probably in the end feel I might vote for him as the best Republican, but I'd have a hard time seeing me voting for him in the general. But on these issues, he's right on as far as I'm concerned. But I ain't the core Republican voter by any means, And I...
Well, I don't see myself voting for him in any way, even though I do like, for example, certain of his positions.
Well, and that's the thing, he's got the type of positions where he's actually going to have liberal support in certain areas. He's going to have conservative support in other areas, but he's got other issues that are going to sort of cross cancel. Like, for instance, okay, he's really awesome on civil liberties for this kind of thing, but he's, on the other hand, he's very, very diehard pro-lifer.
Yeah, there you go.
And so that's a combination that, you know, it's relatively rare. And like, even if people are really diehard on the civil liberties stuff, they may or may not also be able to sort of, if they're pro-choice, otherwise, they may not be able to overlook that diehard pro-life position,
right,
to support him. And there are a lot, and that's just one example issue. There are a lot of other things there but I think he will be a factor in 2016. He will probably be an even bigger factor than Ron Paul has been in the last couple elections, which means, you know, I mean, what has Ron Paul done? He obviously hasn't come even close to the nomination, but he has been the one that's been on the stage in the Republican primaries bringing up issues that no other Republican would ever bring up and forcing them to answer some of those questions. I think Rand Paul will certainly do the same thing, and he may get a little further than his dad did, if nothing else, simply because demographics are changing. And some of the other types of conservatives are frankly dying off, and the libertarian-ish conservatives are increasing in number as sort of young people come up through the ranks. I don't think it'll be enough for him to win in 2016, though. But he's certainly, I mean, the characters for 2016 are starting to be visible. I mean, the race for 2016 is well underway. And, you know, I've been thinking, you know, I've got to get my, like, polling stuff started. I mean, it's fucking 3.5 years until the damn election.
Oh, come on, really? I mean, but we don't even know who the... Well...
No, I know, but we've got a number of candidates, and there have been a number... The state-by-state polls that I look at, there have already been a number of them. Now, I will say...
Seriously?
There have been a few, mostly done by PPP, but...
Yeah, but their polling data is all garbage.
No. They were very good this last cycle.
They were? Okay.
Yeah, they were pretty good, but...
I think it was... Well, never
mind. It was Gallup that sucked. This
yeah, Gallup time. Was the yeah. Gallup was. Oh my God, Gallup was
but,
like.
But anyway, so like, off. But you know, all of these early polls, by the way, show that if Hillary is the Democratic nominee, she would crush all of these other people.
That's what I would think.
Now, but again, you know,
I know it's way early.
It's
but
way
I
early.
Think it's,
blah
yeah,
blah
but
blah.
I, but I think
you
that
haven't
that's
hit a
right.
campaign yet, and blah blah blah.
I mean, if things remain on the track that they are right now. Yeah, I think that the answer's right. I mean, if Hillary freaking runs, she'll fucking crush everybody.
You know, but having said that, you gotta take that with a big grain of salt. When we were looking in 2005, 2006 towards 2008, it was a done deal. Everyone thought Hillary would be the Democratic nominee, and that was
But I totally disagreed with that call.
I want to point out that I called Obama as the nominee in 2008 if Kerry lost on the day of the Democratic National Convention in 2004. So anyway.
And I said, when all those people were saying that Hillary was going to get the nomination, I said, no fucking way. She was still carrying way too much negative baggage. At that point, there was just no way. Everybody was she was a front runner basically because Obama hadn't really declared and really pushed out there in the surge. It's like I was like this. Just I said nah, not gonna happen, and I was right. So
yeah. Anyway, but it was close. It was close. But my point is just things change, and you know, Obama suddenly emerging as serious competition for her. You know, was not something that a lot of people saw years in advance.
Well, they're idiots.
Except for you and me, both of whom called it. But, you know, whatever. We're good. You know, what can I say?
Yeah, true.
But anyway, The race is starting to shape up, but in all of these things with positing Hillary versus these other people, Hillary has the big advantage that more people know her than know most of these other guys. That will change over time, but we'll see. Way too early, but I want to start like getting all my mechanisms in place, you know, because I'm thinking I want to do. Doing this was brutal last time around. I want to automate a whole bunch of it, so I want to think about it.
Start writing code.
I want to start getting the code written so that I can just plug the polls into a text file and have the system do the rest. So we'll see how that goes.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, okay. I figure this isn't my like forte, but I've got 3.5 years. If I can't do something in 3.5 years, I mean, what the hell?
Then you've burst your bubble, but you've managed to do that before.
Hey, I have this I have this email top 10 list I put out, and anytime now I'm gonna get the list out for December 2004. I swear. I've got it on my shelf right here. I've just got to get it out. I just got to take care of that.
Oh, that would, I think that if you did that, that would, like, shock quite a few people.
Oh, it'll happen. It'll happen. I put out November 2004, 2 years ago.
And I think we were all very shocked.
I'm only a decade behind. I will catch up, damn it.
Perhaps Alex, when he grows up, you can train him so he can, like, make you catch up.
There you go. I was thinking maybe when I retired, I'll spend some time on that.
No. Just teach Alex. Alex, look, here we go. Look, here, let me show you how to do this. Here you go. Just start doing this. There you go. You just get your own drone.
Get your own drone. Okay, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back with any other random things we want to talk about for a few minutes. We'll be back after this. Okay, here we are. What else is going on? We got North Korea making noise. We got the Pope. We got the Dow Jones.
Well, you
got
to admit that they were kind of funny. The North Koreans were their threat.
By the way, South Korea made a retaliatory threat as well.
What was the retaliatory threat by South Korea? I didn't hear that one.
Well, basically, North Korea said, what was their exact threat? Basically, that they had the capability to nuke the United States if they wanted.
Yes, they were correct. They threatened to do a first strike. Okay, preemptive nuclear attack.
Right, and. And so, South Korea basically said, if you do that, you cease to exist.
Oh, that was like the response? I love it. I love that one. That's good. There you go. I mean, seriously? I mean, what the hell? I mean, I'm like, yeah, we're going to launch one nuke towards the U.S. Okay, I'm like, perfect. There you go. That's all we need. There you go. Have fucking North Korea finally launch a nuke. And then, like about, 48 hours later, the whole issue will be concluded. I mean, how quickly could it,
Well, along those lines, we've talked about Iran, too. And what was it, last month, they claimed to have launched a monkey into space?
Did they launch a monkey into space?
They claimed to. There's some question about whether the footage was faked. But they claim to have launched a monkey into space and retrieved him successfully alive. But then, people analyzed it, and the before and after pictures of the monkey appear to have actually been different monkeys. But
use the same monkey, you fucking morons. You know.
Well, the first monkey might be dead, you know.
Yeah, that could be a problem. You don't have to prove your... well, okay. Well, you know. Fuck. I mean, so what? Even if they launch anything into space, I mean, the whole... I mean, really? I mean, so what are you going to do? So you got one. We got how many? A couple of thousand at least? Yeah. Right. I mean, what? What are you going to do? I mean, it's, you know, great. You launched one. Maybe you hit us. Maybe you don't. If you, either way, you're fucked. I mean, because we're going to get back. I mean, we don't even have to nuke you, which is a great thing.
Well, and I've mentioned before, you know, we need to start setting off those nukes to fix global warming anyway, so.
Right. Right, so we can get a nuclear winter. Yeah. There you go. Right.
Anyway, so North Korea did stuff, and and everyone kind of laughed at them.
Everybody just kind of laughed. It was just hilarious.
Well, and there's more sanctions because of their latest nuclear test that even China is like, yeah, we're done with these guys, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, let's face it, they were negotiating with Dennis Rodman the other week, so. I mean, like, what the hell? I don't know. I heard some of the excerpts. It was just hilarious.
Okay, so what else we got here? We got the Dow hit a new high. Does that mean we're about due for a major correction?
Look, the Dow hit a new high. Let's
and the S&P is close too, isn't it?
To no, it's not. It's not? Actually a lot further behind. No,
I know the Nasdaq is not even remotely in the ballpark, but I thought the S&P was getting close.
Look, the Dow right now at 2013, at the level that it is right now, let me see if I pull up this chart, but I'm sure that we're only like maybe like 20% higher than it was in the year 2000. I mean, so if you think about it, I mean, no, we're not really due for much of a correction because the market has been shit the last, 15 years. So,
just to be clear, the S&P actually is pretty close to its all-time high. A few hundred points.
It's a couple of hundred points.
The all-time high was just about 1,500.
Right, but a couple of hundred points in S&P is, I mean, I'm sorry, that's like 20%. I mean, the Dow, it took, let me put it this way, from, you know, as a historical high, the peak, let me put it this way right now, the peak in late, in the early 2000s, at a Dow was 11,722.90. All right.
No, it's even closer than that. Like, let's see, what's all time? The Dow right now, the S&P is at 1551.
What was the all time high?
The all time high.
It's like more 1700.
Let's see. The highest level reached was 1565 in 2000.
Oh wow. I thought I had a lot more way to go. It's got about seven. So it's got, you know, just
few. All-time intraday high, 1560. Yeah, 1560 something.
Okay, so it's actually closer than
it depends whether you're looking at intraday or closing or whatever, but it's really close.
I think a whole bunch of people said basically that it really depends on where the S&P to get there. It has to do with Apple, like at this point. But the thing is that, I mean, think about it. I mean, talk about a drop. I mean, the peak of the Dow in the early 2000, I mean, October 2002 was 11,337.90. So we're at 14,037. So let's see, 11 minus 14,075. So 29,38. So we've only gone up like 25% in like 13 years. That's not a big move. Not in historical standards for the Dow. So, you know, I don't see that we're near a any kind of point where
it's, so time for Dow 36,000.
I think the Dow continuing to move higher is far more plausible than anything else at this point.
Okay. So, there you go. There you go. There's Yvonne's prediction. I have no idea. It's just one of those things where everybody's bullish right now, and whenever everybody's bullish, I'm like,
actually, that's not true. I don't think a lot of people are bullish. That's the reason why I'm saying this.
Okay.
There's still a lot of people that are still reluctant to move into stocks. A lot of people holding to a lot of cash. Historical cash levels are at a way, way, way all-time high. There's a lot of people holding bonds. I don't know. I mean, it's taken like a really long time to get to this number, and I don't know. I mean, I just don't see that it's at that big a number where, you know, people are concerned about a collapse in it at this point.
Right. And yeah, okay. And like you and I talked about last week, and it's worth reiterating, a lot of this is random. You know, a lot of this is you know, it's all about emotions. It's all about speculation. It's all about, you know, people manipulating stuff. It's not necessarily something that you can directly tie to, you know, here's how these companies are doing or here's how the economics are overall. Like, in the long run, they sometimes sort of converge to those things, but any short-term stuff is just whatever. You know, it's things moving because they're moving.
I mean, this has been a long-term move because basically stocks have been relatively cheap in historical standards, and people have been moving money back into stocks. They're not back at the level, you know, I don't think they're anywhere near the level before the big crash 6 years ago, but 5 years ago, but people are feeling more comfortable and putting more money into stocks. And if you're moving money away from like some of the investments people have been putting money into, like it's been like bonds or even like cash into real estate and stuff, I think there's just it's just going to go up. I don't see, you know, unless the economy implodes and everything else happens and we're all fucked. And,
well, sequester.
I don't know. So far, the sequester has been a big non-event.
Well, and a lot of people are talking about how Obama overhyped it, and now that's hurting his credibility. And we talked last time about, you know, whatever effects there are, the immediate next day stuff is fairly isolated.
Right.
There might be longer term effects on the economy.
It's April. We're really like a lot. I mean, a lot of people have said that April was really the time when a lot of the impact was going to hit. It's not even like right now. So
well,
we got to wait.
And even that impact is specific federal government programs. And I've seen another analysis that says that the economic impact is going to be, for instance, actually very highly concentrated in the
D.C. area.
In the D.C. area. Yeah. And so if you live in Montana, you may not even notice.
Right.
You know? So anyway, let's see.
Swing state.
Montana?
No.
Oh, Virginia. Virginia. Yeah. The other thing... I don't think we have much to say about the Pope. As we record this, just over 24 hours from now, the conclave will actually start. So perhaps by the time we record next week, we'll have a Pope. And then maybe we can have something to talk about.
There was a fake guy at the conclave.
There's a fake guy?
I don't know. Some Australian guy passed himself up. Yeah. But they did catch him, though.
Well, the actual conclave hasn't started.
You know, they were arriving, and, like, I don't know where the fuck they were putting him up or whatever, and this guy kind of...
And he got in.
Yeah.
There's also a secret Tibetan cardinal or something. I don't know if he's coming.
Oh, okay.
But
then he wouldn't be secret anymore.
That's true. But there's also I saw an interesting thing. There's there's an Egyptian cardinal coming, and it's the first cardinal to be from the Egyptian Catholic Church to come to one of these things in like almost a century or something, because a schism had been reunified or whatever by Benedict, or I don't know, whatever. You know, we'll have more to talk about this next week when something may have actually happened.
You know, by the way, I'm looking at this thing just as a quick tidbit. You know, talking about Google. You know, Motorola Mobility has a very big office, like near my office. Okay, uh-huh. And so I just there's just a blurb like right in the news that apparently Motorola announced that, well, I guess Google really is firing another 1,200 people at Motorola.
Yeah, I saw that.
I mean, I'm still still trying to grapple my head around what this whole fucking clusterfuck. I mean, they bought this company and they're just fucking like massacring it. Is what they're doing like right now. Not that it was doing all that great when they bought it in the first place, but I mean, yeah. So let me see. 1,200 more job cuts. Yep. So
okay, I think I've exhausted my list. Anything else you want to mention?
No, we're out.
Okay, that's a show for this week. So thanks everybody for joining us, and down with daylight savings time.
Down with daylight savings. Down.
Yeah, we should hold a protest.
Yeah.
I guess we missed it for today, but whatever. Next time.
Next time.
Well,
next time.
Not like we'll actually do it, but a virtual protest.
I don't know. We could do a virtual protest. Maybe put it on our Facebook pages. Something. I don't know. Something.
Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. As usual, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com with any questions, comments, thoughts, all of that lovely stuff. Otherwise, have a great week, everybody. Tell your friends and tune in next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.